Good to be back with you guys. Hope you're doing well. Hope you've had a good day. I'm Henrik. This is Red Ice TV. In case you're new, check out our website, redice.tv, and of course, redicemembers.com for more. You know, we covered the Dahmer stuff a while back. You guys might have seen the segment that we did on that. It was kind of, really, if you think about it, it was about the kind of the identity, really, around the killer, right? Netflix had initially put Dahmer in with, they'd put an LGBTQ tag on the show. And that didn't go down too well. They wanted Dahmer just to be a white guy. Right now it's like, well, what does it matter that he's gay kind of thing, right? And consequently, in the wake of that, and actually in the segment we did, we showed a book called Rise of the Black Serial Killer as an example of how the media constantly skews this, right? And it's very one-sided. Every time there's a serial killer TV show or movie or something like that, it's, I dare to say 95% of the time, I could be wrong on that, but it's a white guy. And if he does have any other kind of identity, then that's usually kind of pushed to the side. So anyway, we're fortunate enough to have the author of that book with us today, Justin Cottrell, who joins us to discuss the book and talk, actually do a deep dive into this topic. So Justin, welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
No, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
You bet, you bet. So yeah, as I said, we showed that book like a couple of weeks ago now, I think it was, Rise of the Black Serial Killer, documenting a startling trend. It's back from 2012 first release. It actually is a 10-year anniversary here this year, which is good timing. And of course, we can talk about some of the modern stuff later, like some recent, you know, TV shows and some recent events even that actually have happened. We just had one in California now, another serial killer. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, when they're not white, the media don't tend to spend too much time on it. But before we dive deep into that, tell us why you wanted to write the book, Justin.
Well, I was on Facebook. Gosh, it's been, I think, 2007 or so when I got on Facebook. And I was in some, you know, Facebook was kind of the Wild West, and you could get away with a lot of stuff and say what you wanted without going to Facebook jail. And I got into a debate with a gal who was a black gal from the South. She was actually a Southern nationalist of all things. And she admitted that blacks, they kind of, they hold the record, you know, should I say, for violent murders in the U.S. every year. And she said, but they're not serial killers. And I said, well, there's black serial killers. And so I looked up a few names and put it in there. And there were other people debating in this group, too. And I found, I think, 30. And she goes, yeah, but there's hundreds of white serial killers. And I said, well, there's got to be more than 30. So I started looking, and I found what I could. And I went and checked out books at the library, ordered books online. And I got the number up to about 100 and, you know, came back to her. And she goes, okay, you're getting there. But still, they're not the majority. They're still just a minority compared to white serial killers. And the more and more I dove into it, the more I found. And I found a database from Radford University out of Virginia. And I think they had 430 at the time, which was the biggest. They had the biggest database next to the FBI on serial killers. And I thought, wow, here we go. We're finally onto something. So I went and painstakingly looked up every single one of those and fact checked them, I guess you could say. And then when I was in the process, I kept finding new ones. I thought, man, am I just going crazy here? How did these professional criminologists and psychologists miss all this? You know, how did the FBI miss this? How is this guy that, you know, I'm a carpenter by trade. I build homes. How am I finding this? And so that's kind of where it took off from there. And by the time I had the book published, that gal, whatever her name was, wasn't even on Facebook anymore that I could find. And so she's kind of a nameless person. I don't even know her name. So she was the one that dared me to find it. And so she got me started, and it was about a 5-year journey before I started, you know, before I published the book. So,
all right. Well, good. Did you give her credit in the book?
I actually did. I wish I could remember her name.
Yeah.
So I can kind of, you know, remember an avatar picture of her. And of course, you know, knowing the way Facebook works and the feds work, there's no telling if she was really a real person. So
that's right. Absolutely. All right. Good. Good stuff. So what is that down to? Let's, I guess, begin there. I mean, trends. I mean, the FBI, we show statistics sometimes on this show, right? The overrepresentation of certain racial groups when it comes to violence and violent crime and things like that. Mm-hmm. But in this genre of crime, if that's the right word for it, it seems to be, at least in people's minds, just as you say, like the girl you talked with, her mindset was like, no, it's basically just whites doing these kinds of things. Where does that perception come from, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to click over to and make a, I've got all sorts of notes here.
Sure.
Yep. But it comes mostly from the media and the lax reporting. And the thing you've got to remember, too, the term serial killer itself is actually a very modern term. I mean, it's less than 50 years old, the term. And so before that in the media, I've been able to query a lot of archive newspapers and magazines that aren't even in print anymore. And what I found is they call them slayers. They call them killers. They call them even creeper sometime. You're like, oh, you think of a creeper as someone peeping in a window, but they would call sometimes a murderer that. And so it just kind of depended upon the era that they were reporting. But so the serial murderer, you know, the term didn't come about until the late 60s, early 70s. And even then, because of the civil rights movement, the media never would touch it. But as far as, you know, movies, I did an exhaustive search, you know, and this is a 2012 statistic, and I did update this in 2018, but I found that there's right around 500 movies, I think it's like 505, that cover serial killers. And there's only five that cover black serial killers. There's two on the Beltway Snipers, which were a kind of a biopic. There's two, the Candyman series, if you remember that. And there's one called Switchback with Danny Glover, where he's a serial killer. And outside that, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And so, and it's so bad that even, I think I have it somewhere in my notes, but there was a serial killer in Arizona. Gosh, I can't remember his name right now. I'm sorry. I've lost it. But anyways, they did a movie about him, and they actually showed a white guy as the killer in the movie, but in real life, he killed eight people in Phoenix, Arizona, the Baseline Killer. That's what he went by.
Okay.
And the name of the movie is The Baseline Killer. So you have things like that, and people see this, and they're like, wow, there's that deranged white guy there. Look, he killed all those. No, in real life, he was a black guy.
Did anybody happen to complain over cultural appropriation of that particular role? I assume not. In that case, they're happy to take that one, right? I mean, you know, we've seen so many shows and movies recently, you know, the Mermaid and Pinocchio, and like all these white characters are being replaced. In this case, if you actually put a white guy in there, most of the people seems to be fine with. And again, obviously, for obvious reasons, it's that disassociation that people wants to do. Like, no, it's only whites that are... I mean... In some way, it's down to like people's perception. Maybe that, well, are white people more clever? I think that the Dahmer, the people that did reviews on the Dahmer show, they were driving a line, like Salon or some other, you know, online papers and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're writing about this, and they kind of drove the line that, no, you see, he could. Let me see. They try to basically say that it was because of racism, right? America's a racist country, and so he could just fit in. He could hide among the police, essentially, and they trusted him as opposed to minorities, so to speak.
Yeah.
But of course, as we know, that's not the case. Then, so there are so many out there that we've never even heard about, and media is just basically not making these, turning these into major stories. I guess, right?
Exactly, and that's what I found. You know, since my book came out, even though it's not, you know, it doesn't support me by any means. It's just because book writing is a tough. It's more of a, you know, a hobby.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what I found is I've had people email me occasionally or will call me and say, hey, we heard your book quoted on national media, but they didn't give you credit. You know, they're like, we'll read a line out of there. But but I've noticed that there's more, like the guy that was a Sunday morning caught in Stockton, California. There's more of that where they actually label him a serial killer. Because before that, they wouldn't even label him a serial killer. They might say there's a hunt for a serial killer. And not, or they would say one was caught, and they wouldn't show any picture, so you had no way of knowing the general, you know, public of, well, what's his race? And then not only that, they put it on the back page where nobody looks, you know, in the newspaper.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, but even outside that, I've got, here's a story. This is one that I discovered out of Denver, Colorado, Vincent Darrell Grove. He killed at least 14 women and maybe as high as 18, according to him. They just didn't find four of the bodies. But they were some unbelievable murders as far as brutality. He had overkill. He did mutilated corpses and things like that. But outside of Denver, nobody carried the story when it came out. And it was the early 2000s. Denver itself had a 250-word article that was on the third page of the Denver Times and with no picture, racial description. And so even people inside Denver had no idea this guy, who he was, what he looked like, or anything. And so, And there's a lot more than that. I mean, I've got, you know, through my book, I talk about how many times this happens where, you know, you even have serial killers in the same town where you have a white guy that's highlighted and then a black guy that gets no attention whatsoever.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, that is crazy. It's obviously dishonest. And I think that's true for many other crime stories as well. I mean, we cover this in both in America, but even in Europe when it happens. We just had a murder of a young girl in France. I don't know if you've even caught some of that. It's kind of recent. Lola was her name and stuff like that too. And immediately the media don't really cover. It turned out later, of course, it was like, oh, the four people were from Algeria. But they, you know, usually what's the case is that if you don't hear a description or in some case even a name, you assume that, you know, at least we've left to assume that, like, okay, then it's probably not a white person, you know?
Yeah. And what I've noticed too, I noticed this years ago, grew up in Oklahoma City. And so I was 3 hours south of Wichita, Kansas. And when the BTK stalker and murderer, you know, was caught, I think it was around 2005-ish, don't quote me on that, 2003. But when they caught him, it made our news for probably 3 months. Every night on the nightly news, they would talk about the BTK strangler, and, you know, his name's Dennis Rader, and all of his victims, and you'd see his photo, you'd see videos of him in court, you'd see all these people protesting, you know, the families of the victims and so forth. And so, but at the same time, there were black serial killers in Wichita, Kansas that did just as bad of crimes, more victims than him, and guess what? I never heard about them in Oklahoma City. I had no idea they existed until I started looking for them and found them just buried And honestly, you know, because, you know, I have to support my family and, you know, make a living. And so I can't devote myself to this full time. I've often thought if I could just spend 2 years solid doing this, how many more would I uncover that I've missed?
Right. So you're saying there isn't like a... Well, haven't there been back and forth on that when it comes to the racial profile of, like, the databases that do exist and stuff? I mean, in some countries, they have now actually done away with it altogether. You know, in Sweden, they did away with it, for example. But that's still measured, like, in the U.S., though, right? They still list all that, right?
Well, it is. Unfortunately, you know, white, they have basically, the FBI keeps black and white category. And so black is obvious black, but white is everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And so like Hispanic, white, they're Indian. Yeah. But the other thing, too, is they don't have a name. They just tell you a town, a county, and a state and the year. They don't tell you, you know, and they might tell you, you know, shooting victims, stabbing victims, you know, strangulation. But you have no way of knowing the names. And so that's what I'm getting at is it's an exhaustive thing to dig in and find the names and find the crimes.
Yep, exactly. So... you kind of brushed on this a little bit, but definition, I guess, as you said, of a serial killer, what that actually is, because, of course, we have mass shooters, right, or mass shootings, and I would assume it's just as simple as because of the fact that it happens, like, in that one time slot, if you will, the one instance a person shoots as many as possible, but then what's the definition, like, oh, if it goes, what, a day after, and then they kill another and another or something, then all of a sudden it becomes a serial killer as opposed to just a killer or a mass shooting or mass murderer, maybe?
Well, and that's something that's actually debated. When they first came out with the term serial killer, it was three or more murders committed over a 30-day span or more.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's what the definition was. They've since lowered it to two because some of the most famous serial killers, like Ed Gein, for instance, he was back in the 50s, and he was actually the inspiration for, like, Norman Bates and for Buffalo Bill out of Silence of the Lambs. He only killed two women. And so they lowered it down to two in 30 days. But there are instances, if it's a few weeks or maybe even 2 weeks, and they can show that it's not a crime spree. Because the thing that you have is sometimes you have a guy that he pops off two or three people, and then two or three days later, you know, he's still laced out on drugs, or maybe it's a psychological breakdown of some sort, and he goes kills a few more. That's a crime spree. And so they're trying to say that, you know, it's still the 30-day span, but occasionally in the research you'll find – you know, guys that study this saying, okay, a week apart on the murders, you know, he killed eight people. It wasn't really a spree. It was a serial murder.
Ah, yeah, gotcha.
So it's a little ambiguous, but there's a little gray area is what I'm getting, a little fuzzy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but no, that kind of puts us in the category of what we're looking at here. So you go back to, I think you said in the book, from the 1860s to present.
Yes.
So that's a long time span right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was about the earliest newspapers I could find. I mean, there are earlier in America, but online, that was about the limit, was 1860. And that was some of the New York Times, and there was defunct newspapers out of the Northeast. And so, but they didn't really report on that much. There was occasionally I'd find stuff, but most of it was in the 1870s and 1880s. There was quite a bit more, kind of the Wild West days.
Would you say generally that this is an upward trend? It's more and more and more. It's on the rise, as the title implies.
Yeah, and I covered that in my book. It's actually pretty interesting. I showed decade by decade from 1860 up until present times, and you see the trend in both white and black. It gradually increases until the 1960s. In the 1960s, there was a lot going on. Not only did we have the civil rights stuff going on, but we also had the interstate system in America coming into fruition. And so that allowed people to travel very freely. Instead of taking, 10 hours on, state highways and country roads, now they could cover the same distance in a few hours. So a guy could come and kill somebody and truck it, somewhere else, and he was out of Dodge. And so, but you had a lot more than that too. You had, the peace, love, agenda going on. And so people, were having this mentality about we can do what we want, live how we want, do what we want. And so you had all those things happening. And so the 1960s, both races skyrocketed. But something that was interesting is up until 1960, you have whites outnumber the blacks and serial killers, but still were less than their population percentile. So let's say, for instance, whites were 78% of the population. They still only represented maybe 55 or 60% of serial murders, and blacks were overrepresented. But in the 1970s, from 1970 to present day, the scales have been overturned to the point that I think it was in the 2000s, I think we had like 40 or 50 white serial killers that surfaced, but we had, I think, close to 150, maybe it's 160 black serial killers. So you have this disparity, it's kind of and I show that in my book. You see these, I'm going to use my hands, but you see them, trending like this together, and then all of a sudden they cross, and they just leave each other, to the point that it's almost as if white serial killing had reached its peak in 1960s, and it's kind of waning out. It's not to say that they don't still exist or can exist, but compared to the blacks, they're still just climbing. It's unreal. Every decade is getting worse and worse.
And, of course, if you adjust for population, because they're only 13% of the population, that's a huge difference, actually, a huge difference.
Oh, it's wild, exactly. And, and there's so many ways you can look at that, too. You can look at the percentages, and then you can look at also how many times more than their population. I think I've got a stat somewhere. I don't think I wrote it down in my notes. But I think right now, if you averaged out from 1860 to present, that blacks are overrepresented 5.82 times compared to the population of serial murders.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. Wow. If whites in some violent crime area were almost six times their population represented, it would be in every media there is.
Oh,
we would have it drilled into our heads, stop this, stop this, let's fix it. But you never hear anything about it.
No, they're just flat out like avoiding it, denying it. And they're just saying, no, and this was the thing I wanted to bring up anyway. But it's like all these agencies now in the U.S. is being weaponized, whether it's the Department of Homeland Security or the Department of Justice or obviously the FBI and things like that. And they're more concerned with, so-called white supremacy and white nationalism. And, I mean, a while back we had that headline of the Department of Homeland Security that's starting to recognize, white nationalism as a major terror threat. And that they're saying that they're going to give as much money to this issue as they did with dealing with, like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and things like that, which is insane. And then you have areas such as you've just highlighted here and that you're going to detail about in your book. And you realize, that there's not even a discussion about that. This should be like front and center. How do we, as you said, if this was white represented like this, it would be like, this is a huge problem. Like something has to be done. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing that I talk about in the book. And then it's not just that. I'll give a statistic I've got here to show how bad it is. Right now, up to present, I've been able to find 855 white serial killers in the U.S. from 1860 to this very day. Doesn't mean there's not some that I haven't, that I've missed, or that there's some that aren't discovered yet. But right now, we just passed the 1,000 mark. I'm working on the third edition right now to be released sometime this fall or winter. And for black serial killers, we passed 1,000. And think about that, 12.7 or 8% of the population is responsible for over half the serial killer murders since 1860. And it's worse than that. If you think about it, it's not the entire, let's use a round number, 13% the blacks represent in the U.S. Half of that is female. Well, so that you're left with 6.5%. Well, you can half that again, because most of these murders are from guys that are 18 to 35.
Right, yes.
So you have 3.2% roughly of the population killing over half the serial murders.
Wow.
Yeah. Every year. You think about that. It's just wild to think such a small demographic, part of our population, is this violent.
Yeah. And I think on some level, you'll have the usual suspects and leftists and all this stuff. They always try to justify it, or, you know, there's because of this, or some, you know what the answers are. So it's socioeconomic, or, you know, they're not being let into society, and that's why, I kind of thing. But they don't ever, that's never an issue when it comes to white guys, who I'd argue right now are the most, like, openly discriminated against. You can literally have, like, you know, ads now, like, no whites need not to apply, you know, like, being a white male is one of the most out there, you know, discriminated demographic that you have out there. But, you know, we don't see those kinds of effects then, you know, among the white population. So that's kind of curious, huh?
Well, it is. And you mentioned, you know, in the beginning about Dahmer, and, you know, Dahmer's an interesting subject because, yeah, he did some gruesome stuff. He killed, I think it's 13 or 14 victims they had, or that he had. But there's black serial killers and even whites that had so many more victims. They did just as bad of stuff. But with Dahmer, you have over 30 books have been published just on him.
Yeah.
I think there were up to 6 or 7 movies, plus this new TV show that's out that cover him. But black serial killers, minus my book, I think we're up to 10 total for all black serial killers. So think about that. One guy has more books than all black serial killers combined. But back to him being a racist, white serial killers, what I found is that they killed outside their race one time, 5.84% of the time. Black serial killers, on the other hand, killed 57.4% outside their race. And of that, 32.17% of black serial killers had nothing but white victims.
Really?
Have you ever heard that statistic?
I've never heard that. No.
I've never heard that in the media. And you know, that's what I found, because what I did is I went through every single murderer, found their victims, and sometimes it was, you know, it was easy. Sometimes the media would show pictures or their websites, you know, memorials and so forth, so it was easy. But sometimes I had to go through detail and census records and try to find these people and, you know, what was their race, you know, with this victim and that victim. And but still, it blew me away that, you know, it's just this huge disparity between black serial killers versus white.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, definitely, and again the Dahmer thing there, like, it's the fascination around this, and you know, show after show on this thing, and yeah, again, it's maybe the nature of it, or the gruesomeness around it, or whatever. But I mean, again, let's talk about that for a moment. The LGBTQ tag that Netflix put on it, and then immediately it was like, you know, an outburst of, like, you know, pushback, and people were upset about this, and somehow Netflix folded, and they took it away after, I think, 3 days or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Now they didn't want him to be LGBTQ. Now he was like, well, what does it matter that he's gay? Well, what does it matter that they're white then, too? You could counteract. But, they, you know, you don't get that discussion. It's almost like, again, I'm back to my point there, that you can, you know, the only group that you can, you know, openly push back against like that is whites, and you won't see a big outrage around it. You know what I mean?
No, you won't at all. And that's one thing I've noticed. You know, I'm going to fire off some stuff at you to kind of reinforce that. Have you ever heard of a guy named Mark Sappington? Most of your listeners probably won't have.
No.
He was out of Kansas City. He was actually a copycat killer, is what they call him, where he was enthralled by what Dahmer did, but he was a black guy. He killed 4 people that were acquaintances or friends, drank their blood, ate more parts than Dahmer did. Everybody always wants to focus, and I've not seen this new TV show about Dahmer.
Yeah.
But I've read about him quite a bit.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that's all he did was dine on human flesh. He did.
Right.
He ate the bicep of one of his victims, okay?
Right.
And may have sampled a little more than that. So he wasn't like this day in or day out cannibal. It was more of an exploratory thing. Mark Sappington, on the other hand, ate quite a bit of his four victims. And you've never heard of him.
Nope.
Another is a guy named Troy Travis. He killed at least 17 women, but he murdered himself in jail, hanged himself before they could get all the names. But there was at least 22 more is what they suspect out of St. Louis, Missouri. He had a murder room in his basement where he would film himself beating these women for sometimes weeks and starving them to death, raping them repeatedly. And then he had dumped their bodies, in the near the Mississippi River in St. Louis.
Wow.
Very few have ever heard of the guy.
Never heard of him.
And to me, I mean, the guy was, Dahmer's bad, but this guy is equivalent, if not worse, in my book. And it's nothing about his race. If a white guy had done what Maury did, I would say the same thing, that they're a hideous person.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah, here's the here's Mark Sappington here, the Kansas City Vampire. And you'd yep. think these, I mean, yeah, we're talking about TV now, sensationalism. So these would be great TV shows, right? I mean, you couldn't have handed a better storyline, think about. But as you say, maybe let's tackle that a little bit more in detail, what that is, right? You're right. I guess I can read that passage there. Bias against reporting black serial killers, chapter 2. You say Americans are impacted by what the mainstream media reports and what Hollywood produces, even if it is a pale comparison to what really takes place in the world. In the minds of millions, they have no need to doubt these experts who entertain them with vivid stories and detailed special effects, but should simply sit back and enjoy the show. As a result, the public assumes these outlets are staffed by specialists who hold advanced degrees in reporting reporting and storytelling. Therefore, they must tell the truth, especially when it concerns crime. The truth is that, regardless of the facts, there are some stories the media and entertainment industries choose to willingly ignore. They are considered too hot to touch and subsequently avoided or downplayed. At the heart of that, I simply think that that's about everything in the media right now is about lifting up black people, right? You got to hear black voices. Yeah. You just put on any streaming service. It's almost that. So anything that would negatively then, kind of reflect on black people overall is seen as an evil, right? And it's like this, we can't have that. We just have to avoid this issue at all cost, even if it means we're missing out maybe on good TV shows or movies, even if it means that we're not telling the truth. That has been put to the side for the sake of the agenda, basically, right? Okay.
No, I would agree with that. And the thing is, that chapter was, it was easy to write because there's such a wealth of information.
Yeah.
The disparity, like you pulled up this article on Mark Sappington, you have to know the names to find some of these people. You can't just type in, give me a list of black serial killers. Before
exactly.
my book, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
People have now, taken the names of my book and published them and updated databases, which is fine. I'm happy to help. But before that, you couldn't do that. You might pull up, a few. And so, yeah. And Maury Travis, this is something. Do you see a description of him right here? There you finally see his face.
Yeah.
But outside of a few articles, you don't see his face. What they want to highlight on is he was the very first serial killer ever caught using an IP address. The FBI was able to trace him because he was bragging about his crimes and what he was doing and emailing news media outlets, hey, look what I did.
Really?
I killed this gal, this and that. And he didn't understand the way IP addresses work, and they tracked him to his home.
Whoops. Yeah, got to use a VPN, buddy.
Yeah.
Even
and
that.
So the thing is, a lot of articles, up here you see this guy with a hoodie and his, turned. You can't tell what race he is.
Right,
you have no idea.
Yeah.
A lot of articles, that's all they'll show. They will not show a picture of his face at all.
Yeah.
And so, and they want to highlight how cool it is the FBI tracked him down. Well, cool. That's a cool story. What did he look like?
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. No, instead, it's, as you said, Jeffrey Dahmer, it's Ted Bundy, it's John Wayne Gacy. Even, in fact, when I searched for your book on Amazon, just to pull it up here so we can show it, this came up, too, World's Most Evil Killers, right? And you go through here, and it's just like, most of them, I think, are actually in the UK, but most of them, I believe, are white. I didn't go through every single one yet, but most of them are white, as usual.
I think they highlight one black guy in here. I think, okay. But don't quote me on this show.
Okay.
And you mentioned Gacy. Everybody knows, if they don't know that name, they recognize him. He was the Killer Clown. He killed 33 yeah. boys and young guys. He was also a homosexual. I'm yes. surprised that the Alphabet Group hasn't claimed him. But nonetheless, about the same time as him, there was a serial killer that killed the same amount of people, 33, named Edward Lee Mosley. He was out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But he had another thing, too. He loved to rape. He had over 300 victims of rape. And so that survived.
Yeah.
But outside of Fort Lauderdale, you'll never hear about him. And there, yeah, no, there's John yeah. Wayne Gacy on the side there on the right.
Wasn't
but,
there? Do you know if he actually dressed up as a clown? Somewhere I read just a few, like a week ago, like, no, that was a rumor, or he only did it once or something. He worked as a clown, though, right? That was actually his profession,
yes.
right?
But he worked as a clown, but they don't know how much he dressed up for, you know, in his murder. Some, you know, if you see, he's actually kind of the inspiration for a lot of the killer clowns and some yeah. of the horror shows now and so yep. forth. Because, you know, but what I'm getting at is, why don't we hear about Edward Lee Mosley? You know, 300 rapes, the same number of murders, 33.
Yep.
And not only that, but he was also into necrophilia. So he was, you know, dealing with corpses,
yeah.
you know, raping corpses. And so, but you never hear about him. In fact, he never made any news out, even in Fort Lauderdale, they never covered his story at all.
It's incredible. Yeah, usually it's local, small local news outlets or something that touch on it, but of course they never connect the dots or make it. That's not their, I mean, it would be their job, but it isn't. You know what I mean? They don't do that kind of stuff. They just like, you know, pick it up and leave it and then they move on and that's that. No,
yeah,
I mean,
if it wouldn't have been for, I think that one, How I Found Him, was a memorial for one of his victims, you know, an obituary.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Serial killer out of Fort Lauderdale, and I got to looking for him, and public was outraged because he's in a mental institution that's very light security. It's essentially a double wide trailer is where he's at. It's a little bigger than that, but at the same time, it's this small little cubicle that doesn't have much security, but he, you know, they got him off on, you know, said, well, he has a low IQ. Let's just call him crazy.
Yeah. Interesting. So do you have actually like an index in the book with the names? Is that how you present? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. I that's the last chapter. I go through alphabetically, and what I do is I list the number of victims. Sometimes I list the names, and then the method of killing. And then I list the race of the victims. I'm yeah. honest in there. If the victims are black, I put black. If they're a mix, I put a mix.
Sure.
If they're solely white, I put solely white. And I'll put in there little blips, too, and I put the birth date and if there is a death date of the serial killer. But I put in there, too, if there's anything about, you know, like overkill or, you know, like Mark Sappington, that they drank the blood or cannibalism, just so people can understand. And it's not to make them seem worse than they are. I just want the truth to come out. That's all I want
yeah.
is for people to have the data.
So if you search for, you know, any of these terms now, Dahmer is John Wayne Gacy, or one of these famous kind of thing, just mm-hmm. stories after stories, and it's this, like, you know, fascinating, almost like this fetish might not be the right word, but do you know what I mean? Like, people
oh, yeah.
revel in this. They are, like, you know, fascinated and attracted by this. Yeah, I'm not sure what explains that, what it is. Maybe people's lives are so thrill-less, so they need something like this, but they
well,
seem to love it, you know?
They do, and there's something even weirder that's always just amused me, is you have the fangirls, like Ted Bundy,
yeah,
when he was alive,
yeah.
he had women writing him every week offering marriage, saying, we want to marry you. And it's like, hello, this guy killed 30-something women. You want to marry this guy?
I guess so.
It's yeah, weird. We know how it's going to end, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Please kill me. I'm important too. I don't know what the driver
yeah,
is there.
It just
holy
it blows
crap.
Me away. It just
yeah.
and all of them have it. They have these people that are just infatuated by him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, even the actor that played Dahmer, I forget what his name was now, but like he immediately like instant star success, and because of that role and the association, you know how it works in people's head. Then
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh my God, he's so sexy, you know? Like really? I mean, what was that other show, by the way? There was a another serial killer show. Oh, I forget what it is now. It went
about Mindhunter?
No, it was another one. It'll come to me in a moment here, but it was like same thing there. I remember all these women, they loved watching this, and he's so sexy. I forget what it was called, but that seems to be a common theme, to be honest. And I'm not sure what the fascination is, but take care or leave it. That's what it is, you know?
I agree with you. I think it's just people want something to hold on to, and maybe they have a boring life. They don't have much to look forward to. Maybe it's just the excitement. or it could just be that they're dark, you know, have dark souls or, you know, whatever your take is on that.
Exactly. So anyway, let me, Mindhunter was another one I was thinking about too. There is a few of those. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, Dexter, that's the one. Remember that one?
Dexter.
That's right.
Dexter is actually interesting. If you ever watch the show, you know, it's about a white serial killer, but he tries to frame a black officer named Sergeant Doakes in that film. And so the only way that you have a black serial killer out of that film is when he tries to frame his own crimes onto the black guy who's a black cop. And the black cop ends up getting killed in the film. And the public says, oh, wow, we've caught this guy. He's obviously the serial killer.
Yeah.
Well, he really wasn't. He was framed. And so it's almost like the makers of the show were trying to say, hey, look, there are black serial killers, but they're framed. It was really a white guy behind it the whole time.
Exactly. Right. And there's so much of that in the media. Again, back to the Dahmer thing. And I didn't watch much of it, but the initial, you know, the first episode and the initial, especially the initial few scenes with Dahmer, was kind of framed that way too. Now, I think Dahmer had, I think it was majority, you know, blacks that he did kill. It was a couple of Asians maybe, and then it was one, maybe two white kids, depending on how you kind of count or whatever. But as far as I understand, maybe you have more information about that, but it wasn't like racially motivated, nothing to do with that. It was about the availability of the victim of sorts. It was people that were like a little bit living on the outskirts. They were not maybe settled somewhere. They were on the run or something, right? And he caught who he ever could catch by luring them in, right? But am I wrong on that maybe? Do you know?
No, you're absolutely right. But the thing is, and this is where the LGBT group, they get irritated, is when you look at it, it was never racially motivated. It was sexual. He would pick up guys, and it was whichever guy was willing to, you know, go do the deed with him.
Yeah.
That's what the victim was. If it would have been white guys, guess what? Every victim would have been white.
So he did have sex with every single one? Is that what they claim,
yes,
at least?
Yes, they would have sex. And, and the thing is, there was one of the victims, I can't remember his name, I think it was one of the Asian guys. He ran away, he was being raped, and I guess it wasn't consensual for him. And he ran away, and the cops listened to his story, and they're like, yeah, whatever. And they took him back to Dahmer's apartment. Dahmer finished it and killed him. And so the public tried to make an outcry about it during the trial, and a lot of these black rights groups and Asian rights groups at the time, and said, well, this is obvious. The cops are racist. And what it is
exactly,
they thought it was a gay lover's quarrel, is what the police thought.
Right.
They did not think it was a crime going on, because they talked to both of them, and they both kind of sheepishly wouldn't admit what they were doing. But the cops were like, okay, fine, just go do that out of our hair. Get out of here.
Gotcha. And again, I think we're back to that, why they are so happy then to cover these things and bring that up, because it could always be spun that the reason why they could kill and get away with it, and of course, in the end, they didn't. They did get caught, these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, it's like, this is because we're living in a racist society. And again, the most of the articles I read from about the Dahmer case was about that. You know, the first few scenes of the shows that show that of like an innocent black kid, and this was like, and they twisted it in such a way that to make it about race. You know what I mean? As opposed to the sexual aspect in this case. So it's so dishonest, and as long as they can have an anti-white spin on it, they'll be happy to cover it. And even if that is not the truth, Justin, they will weave that into it and say, no, it was all about race. That's the reason he did this, when that's not true.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing. They want to focus on just a few victims, you know, that were black, and not talk about what really precipitated to make this crime happen. It was he was trolling the gay clubs and also gay prostitutes, and that's what he was looking for.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, here's I could pull that in just real quick there. Here's picture for you guys of the victims here as well. So in that case, they don't want the association, they don't want the tag, if you will, on Netflix that this is LGBTQ characters here. This has nothing to do with it now. Reasonably, shouldn't we, be as white people, be able to use that too? It's irrelevant if it's white people. What does it matter if he's white, if they spin it, and if it's about whether it's serial killers or something else? Because think about it, in the wider society right now, that's what it's all about. We have, even as I said before, agencies that are essentially weaponized against the interest of white people, and somehow we need to prove either that it's racism, or the white people are benefiting disproportionately from something, or whether it's workforce discrimination or all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it seems that as long as it's against white people, then it's fine to have all these categories and kind of build a profile. But if it's not, and it reflects negatively on non-white people, then we can't talk about it and we can't cover it, right?
Exactly, yeah. And you mentioned that, something that I discovered in my book that is just alarming to me. It just blows me away. And I don't know if you saw this, but to date, there's 103 black serial killers that their sentences, they were sentenced for one or more murders, and then they were released not long after, some of them within 2 years, some of them 6, 7, 8 years. And guess what? They started killing again most of the time within 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And the reason this happens is because they always had these lawyers in the appeals cases that want to say, oh, well, there was that one guy, he kind of looked a little, he shook his head, or that one gal, she kind of gasped in the jury. They're obviously racist, so we're going to have this, kicked out. And what I found is there's at least 23 cases that I found where the death sentence was commuted to life in prison or even a lesser charge. There was one guy that had two life sentences and a death sentence. All that was thrown out, and guess what? I think he's out now, but he was held on a robbery charge.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like, why? Why are these guys, their sentences, if I was to be a serial murderer and, knock off, 15 people like some of these guys, guess what? They are going to find a tall tree and a short rope for me is what they're going to do.
Right, yeah.
And I'm going to be in every media there is, but, on the news station and everything else. But these guys, you never hear about it, but their sentences are getting commuted or they're getting out for good behavior after 3 or 4 years. And there was even one guy, this is blew me away when I found this. I mean, I could not imagine, but there was one guy that was, his name's Stephen Robbins. He was given life sentences for murder on 3 occasions from 1968 to 1992. Every time he was released, he murdered again. He's finally serving life sentence still. So think about that. He was released from prison 3 times for murder, and each time he was charged again and convicted, they got him on a small charge. But it just, when I discovered that and read about it, and there's not a lot of information online that you can find, just put it together from news articles, it's mind-boggling that he was released to kill again.
Yeah, and that's just it, and we've seen other cases like that too, right? And sometimes too, but we could get into detail of that after the break in the second part here a little bit too about like mass, because you have the same perception when it's mass shootings, but if you begin to analyze the politics, it gets even worse, right? If it's like depending on their political affiliation or what they believed, or, as we've seen with some of these mass shooters in recent years, it's like all of a sudden the media does this like huge scouring of like every social media account they can find with a person. Who did he like? Who did he follow? Just to create a character and reflect it negatively on them kind of thing. But we could talk more about that later. The last one you mentioned, was that in Oklahoma too? Or where was that you said?
Stephen Robbins. I would have to look him up in my book.
Oh, Robbins. Okay, that's why. Yeah, I saw one, another Oklahoma, that's why. But okay, Stephen Robbins, that's right.
Yeah, let me see where he was. I'm looking at my database right now.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Not a problem. But yeah, is it Illinois, maybe? Indiana?
Illinois? It's such a big database.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, no worries whatsoever. That's all good. Yeah, I saw this one, too. I guess we can show this real quick, that Dahmer is so popular now, right, that people want to dress up as him for Halloween, but that's become offensive too, apparently. So you can't these sacred cows all of a sudden to pop up. You can't do anything. But they love the... I wonder if that's part of it, too, but Hollywood, as far as my... what I've been able to tell is... they love the blonde, like, supervillain, right? I forget how many of those characters there are, but there's, like, I think that we're in the hundreds, at least, of, like, from James Bond to Harry Potter to, like, some of the, biggest movies out there, it's usually, like, a blonde supervillain. And, of course, Dahmer, very white guy, he was blonde and all that stuff. I'm not sure that that's part of it, but it feels to me that there's, like, within the media, within the entertainment industry, there's this, like, over-the-top... effort to basically make white people look as bad as possible. That's the only conclusion I can draw looking at it.
No, and I would agree with you on that. And by the way, I did find that guy, and it was Indiana, Illinois.
So okay.
He was in the Chicago area and right across the state line into Indiana. I think it's Peoria is the name of the town there.
Gotcha.
And so, but yeah, violent killer. But no, I agree with you. I've seen that same trend too, is that, people want to, glorify in some sense. Yeah, there he is, Stephen Robbins. Yeah, mistakenly freed killer recapture while watching TV.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a pic.
Mistakenly, yeah. How many times has he been freed? How many times exactly? So, and that's an article from 2003. His first murder was in actually 1968, so that's why I don't want your viewers to see this and say, well, there's no way that guy was killed in 1968. He's young. Well, right. This photo is 20 years old, so...
It's even more dishonest then in a way, right? That they didn't have any. Yeah, it reminds me, and that was actually out of Illinois too. I guess we could look at a clip here. Let me see if I can find it. But it was about, and it's not about mass killers, but it's also just about crime overall. Let me see if I can find it here. But it was someone talking about something called the Safety Act in Illinois, where basically, did you hear about that? They're going to let out all these criminals and stuff. And I mean, even in the wake of COVID, we saw that with the lockdowns. It was like, open the prisons, let them all out kind of thing. It's like insane, you know?
I saw that in a movie one time called Batman. It didn't go so well for Gotham City.
Exactly, okay? I know. Oh, good boy. I'll see if I can find that. But, yeah, Safety Act, it was called. And I forget the guy. There was a guy running it, either for governor of Illinois or something, bringing it up. Yeah. But anyway, I'll find it later. We can play it in part two. But, all right, so we could take a break here. We're at about 45-minute mark, so we can take a little break. Tell us how people can pick up a copy of the book. Is Amazon really the best place, you'd say? Do you have any other sources?
Yeah, that's where people order from, and that's fine. And I'm working on, I'll try to get it released here pretty soon, an Instagram page where I can just do updates and just information for people, because, you know, I didn't do this to get rich by any means. I wanted to be an information source for people. And Amazon's a good spot. So.
Okay, perfect, perfect. We'll have the link down below, guys. Rise of the Black Serial Killer, documenting a startling trend. There is a Kindle version right there, $8, and then there is a paperback as well, so you can choose what you want there. Check out the copy of the book. Again, a lot of details in there. We've just kind of begin to scratch the surface here, really. But great stuff. Thank you, Justin. Stay with us. We'll be right back in part two.
All right, thanks.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us here in part one, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to continue in part two with Justin Cottrell, talk more about this. Ask some of the questions about what about the numbers, right? Let's talk about the body count. Who's actually getting most? Because the perception here, of course, is that, there might be black serial killers, but the majority of those who kill more people are white, right? So we kind of dive into this issue of like, well, does that have something to do with... IQ differences or something like that, right? But the answer to that might actually shock you. We have some other stuff too we're going to talk about in terms of like why the media isn't covering some of these stories where there's so much like gruesomeness. Like if they like the Dahmer stuff and the gore and the cannibalism and the torture and stuff like that, well, there's a lot of examples in that other category that we're talking about too where they could find mass killers like that as well. But for some reason, we don't see the TV shows about them. We're also going to talk a little bit about mass shooters, and you kind of have the same thing there, that the media and these agencies, the alphabet agencies, are only focusing on, you know, white people, and usually it's politically affiliated, right? What do they believe? What were their politics? Were they right-wingers, or were they white nationalists, or something like that? And that becomes the major story in the news media. However, you have a number of mass shooters that are never covered in the same way, who are either black or from another non-white group. So we'll talk more about that as well. Great second part here with Justin coming up, so check that out over at redicemembers.com. Sign up for a membership, join us month to month, $10 a month, or you can do a one-time payment. We have subscriptions up to 2 years, and it gets cheaper per month as well. You can also sign up at subscribestar.com/redice. Always remember to send us a DM over there or an email and let us know that you've signed up and what your username is on our Redis members website, so we can link and activate the account. You can also sign up at odyssey.com/@RedIceTV. That's right, we do have Odyssey memberships now as well. So we don't, of course, have our full backlog catalog there yet, but we'll upload all new stuff, and we're going to try to backlog and upload older stuff as much as possible here. odyssey.com/@RedIceTV, a very easy option for you guys to sign up over there. Thanks to our executive producers, T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt, Good Luck Lap, Jake, Red Pill Rundown, Chalky Milk, French 47, Mark Smith, No One Jeeves, President Ubunga, Catch Me If You Can, and Mongoose. Also, thanks to our producers, Mr. Walker 696 and Yuan Song. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much, everybody. All right, we'll be back with more in part two. We'll see you on the other side.